It is July 15th, 2012. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, gerwick.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. And we're just moments after the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, so thoughts and perspectives on the show. And to help me out, I've invited back Dr. Jerry Wiseman. How you doing tonight, Jerry?
Man, I am just feeling it, brother. Life is beautiful.
Well, not so much after this pay-per-view. I think, in general, our reaction to this show was not a very good show on paper. And I guess it didn't disappoint from that standpoint, because this show just, I thought, kind of lagged. We had two Money in the Bank matches. We didn't have one cashed in tonight. I guess overall, I just thought the show was really flat.
When you have an opening match that goes about 20 minutes or so, and then you have video package and commercials and bumpers for everything that goes as long as the first match, you know instantaneously there's a problem with the show.
Not to mention, too, there was a lot of promos on the pay-per-view for the three-hour Raw on the 23rd, which is the 1,000th episode. Now, I realize it's the 1,000th episode, and they're really trying to make this a big show, but just like it was like every break, every sequence between the matches was just another promo for Raw. We saw Y2J, his debut when he came in from WCW. We saw Mankind win the championship, and then we hear Tony Schiavone talking that he gave away the result on Nitro. But a lot of promos. Again, they did a spot where they're doing Tout, which I think is going to be their big new social media, where they're going to want you to download the app and put it on your phone. We saw a promo for SummerSlam. We saw the usual promo of don't try this at home. Again, and then on top of that, we saw three unadvertised matches, and none of the matches were matches that people really wanted to see.
And it doesn't make sense that they put an unadvertised match with it's like a number one contenders match for the tag team titles in the middle of a pay-per-view, and then they actually put a tag team title match on the pre-show, which at its peak only garnered about 44,000 views, which does not translate well for a good buy rate for this pay-per-view. So it's really kind of mind-numbing why they would have the tag team titles on a pre-show and then have a contenders match during the actual pay-per-view. It just goes to show that, A, Vince McMahon does not value tag team wrestling at all, and, B, creative is kind of a little backwards in the way that they're doing things these days.
Yeah, and we'll get into the pay-per-view and analyze it kind of match by match. Not going to get into every blow by blow, because there was a lot of spots, obviously, in the Money in the Bank matches. And of course, if you want to check out a detailed recap of the show, you can just go to the website gerwick.net and check it out. But as Jerry was alluding to there, the opening match on the pre-show, so we had Camacho and Hudico against the tag team champions of Ron the Truth, Killings, and
Kofi Kingston.
So what was your thoughts on this match?
Yeah, it was good for what it was. I mean, there was a lot of they just didn't click. I mean, there were some blown spots and some rough edges. I really don't get the invisible friend of R-Truth and how Hunico beat him up, threw him out of the ring, and then, it was just kind of silliness. But, it was a good, 10-minute match for the pre-show and left him 20 minutes to shill for the pay-per-view. So, I mean, it was nothing special as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I thought typically the matches on the pre-show are usually like 5 or 6 minutes long. So it was nice they let the match go a little bit longer than the usual, really almost length of a TV match. They let it go about 8 or 9 minutes, I think, maybe 10 minutes overall. But again, it didn't seem like these two teams really meshed very well, as Jerry was talking about there. And again, Jerry talked about earlier that we had the tag team championship on the pre-show, and then we had a contenders match on the actual pay-per-view we had to pay for. So that seemed like, pretty backwards on that booking there. The first match on the pay-per-view was the Money in the Bank match that, I think, no surprise, we opened up with the Money in the Bank match here. We had Dolph Ziggler against Santino Marella, Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, Tyson Kidd, Sin Cara, Tenzai, and Christian. And again, we're not going to go through the match by match, you know, the actual blow by blow, but were you surprised here, Jerry, that they actually put Ziggler over in this one?
No, I'm not really. I mean, Ziggy Stardust is he's actually one of the best workers on the roster right now, and to give him a little bit of a push is probably a good idea, but, you know, later on in the show, they kind of buried him real quick coming off of this win, so that didn't kind of make sense to me, but there were a couple of good things about this match. One of them was that Vicky Guerrero's boobs actually looked normal this time. They seem to have had some deformities in the last couple of pay-per-views when they come out. It's too bad they can't do anything about her face. And the second good thing was that Ziggy Stardust went over. Damian Sandow kind of looks like a low-rent Triple H. If you remember when Triple H first started back in the day, he came out in the generic robes and stuff. And that's kind of what Damian Sandow reminds me of. And I'm just not sold on him yet. Santino, he did a spot where he was afraid of heights and climbing up the ladder, but it seemed like earlier in the match he was able to climb up that ladder like a monkey to keep other people from getting to the money in the bank case. So that didn't kind of make sense for me either. And Tensei, there was one spot there where I don't remember who it was, but they put him over. Draped him over one of the ladders, and he just played dead. With these ladder matches, there's just too much. Everybody plays dead for too long of a time, and there's only so much you can do with these ladder matches before it's just redundant anymore. And to have two of them on one show, you really have to make the second one special and stand out. The first one didn't do much for me. Typical stuff. You know, all you get out of Sin Cara is Hurricanranas, and I'm just really sick of that. It's the most overused move in wrestling right now. But to put Ziggy Stardust over, I think was probably a good idea, and I'd like to see him get a little bit of a push again.
Not to mention, you were talking about Sin Cara, you know, doing the Hurricanrana. What's also symbolic, I think, of Sin Cara is the botched spot. And he did another botched spot in the corner when he was in the ring with, I forgot who he was in the ring with, but he messed up another spot. I think it was Ziggler, wasn't it, in the corner?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he messed up another spot, and of course they showed it again on replay, and it looked like Ziggler hit the mat pretty hard there. But I agree with you. I thought, you know, to me, I don't know, maybe we'll get your opinion on this up front here. I think that since they put the money in they took Money in the Bank away from WrestleMania, the Money in the Bank really doesn't seem like anything special. And then to do two of them on one show, I think it just really waters it down. I don't think this is a concept type pay per view that's going to draw. You were talking before about 44,000 people went on the YouTube watching the pre show. I just don't think this is a concept that really clicks with people in terms of this has got to be a must see pay per view. And again, as I said, alluded to earlier, Jerry, that taking it away from WrestleMania, I just don't think the Money in the Bank really means as much as it used to.
I agree, and I would actually like to see, instead of the guys that have the Money in the Bank opportunities, you know, it's always been they'll come out and cash it in when the current champion has been beaten down, you know, so it's an easy score. It makes the win look cheap. It makes the title look cheap. I'd actually like to see one of them take this Money in the Bank and cash it in and have a match on a pay-per-view and then put them over that way instead of the ways that they've done it, in the past, where they just come out and take advantage of an already beaten champion.
And another point, too, as we saw, as you were talking, you know, Vicky was out there, and Vicky actually did a spot where she was going to climb the ladder, too. It was a spot where Ziggler got the upper hand, and I agree with you. I thought Vicky looked pretty good tonight, and I thought the fans were really into Ziggler going over. I think they were definitely cheering for him. But as you kind of did a little bit of a spoiler, I guess, if you didn't watch a pay-per-view, they kind of took away Ziggler's heat a little bit tonight by what they did later in the show, which we'll talk about. But, again, I was glad to see Ziggler actually get the win tonight, and I think that was the right booking decision on the show. And then came out next was The Miz, and Miz cut a promo talking that he'd been gone for a couple of months, and he was finally getting his due in terms of acting, doing a movie. I don't think he talked about what the movie title was. I think everybody knew what it was because it was a little bit of a controversy with Randy Orton there. But he said that he was going to be in the title match, or actually the Money in the Bank match tonight. He was going to be in the four-way later on the show. And so The Miz, I guess he just basically came out and booked himself in this match. That there was no general manager, there was no Vince McMahon tonight. There just was The Miz showed up tonight, and he said, "You know, I've won it before, and I've cashed it in and won the title that way. So I'm going to do it again tonight."
It was kind of a surprise that Miz was out there, and kind of silly that they didn't market it a little better, maybe to pop some last minute buy since The Miz has been gone. And at one time he had, quite the following. So trying to get that back, it probably would have behooved the WWE to at least allude to the fact that The Miz was going to be there and maybe be a part of the main event.
Now, another criticism of this show, I think, was the way they sequenced the matches. We opened up with the Money in the Bank match, which didn't surprise me. You don't want to put two Money in the Bank matches together. But then the second match was the world title match, which we've already seen this world title be defended as the curtain jerker on pay-per-views. Now, this was the second match. We saw Sheamus against Alberto Del Rio. I don't know. This, again, was not a match. I didn't think the two styles clicked very well tonight. Obviously, the storyline here was that Sheamus's arm was hurt during the match. Alberto Del Rio worked it over, tried to submit him with it a couple of times. But in the end, the Great White emerged, and Sheamus is still the World Heavyweight Champion.
Sheamus looked off tonight. He didn't look like he really wanted to be there. Alberto Del Rio is kind of an asshole in and out of the ring. Thinks he's a lot better than what he is, and a lot better than most everybody he steps in the ring with. So the match really didn't work from my perspective. And then after the match, Del Rio kept his heat when he and Ricardo beat down Sheamus. And then Ziggy Stardust came out with his case and wanted to cash in his Money in the Bank opportunity. Gave the worst-looking briefcase shot to Alberto Del Rio, who sold it like he'd been shot in the arm, and he rolled out of the ring. And then next thing you know, Sheamus is up, gives Ziggy a brogue kick. Ziggy plays dead, and then you have Michael Cole explaining that he didn't actually cash in his opportunity, that the bell never rang, so we have this to look forward to again. But in it just seemed to kind of kill the momentum that Ziggler had coming out of the Money in the Bank match and going into a possible program with Sheamus.
You know, we've seen this several times now where someone wants to cash in the Money in the Bank and they're ready to cash it in, and for whatever reason, the match never officially starts, so they are able to retain the championship match, retain the briefcase. I think it's getting a little bit old. You know, we've seen that, done that, and here we are again. Same spot with Ziggler tonight where he was going to cash it in. And, you know, you were talking that he's ready to cash it in, and there he's arguing with Alberto Del Rio. And then he gets Del Rio out of the way, and why didn't the referee ring the bell? I mean, he was clearly had an opportunity to start the match. Ziggler gives him the briefcase like he wants to start the match, and yet, for whatever reason, the match never officially starts. So that was a little mind-boggling to me, and it seemed like they do that before where the guy's ready to cash in the Money in the Bank. He gives the champion or the briefcase to the referee, and yet the referee doesn't start the match.
It's just nonsensical at this point. I really think that this Money in the Bank thing and the ladder matches, it's just to the point where they need to come up with something else, deliver a new concept, because this is just old anymore, and I think you've gotten all the mileage out of it that you're going to get. It just doesn't work now.
It'll be interesting, too, if some of the rumors we've been hearing about the WWE Network starts putting some of the pay-per-views on the network. Maybe they could take Money in the Bank off as a regular pay-per-view, but then again, I guess they want you still, you know, buy the $44.95 or the $54.95, I guess, if you're buying it in HD for tonight's show. And then, Jerry, the sequencing of these matches really started to, stick its ugly head out, because the third match was an unadvertised match. And as you talked about before, the tag team title match was actually on the pre-show, and the third match into this show was unadvertised Epico and Primo against the primetime players of Titus O'Neil and Darren Young with AW. Was an unadvertised match. We saw the tag team champions come out, sit ringside. They were dressed in their suits for the match. And this is a match where AW was able to talk during the match. They did a spot where AW told Rosa to dance. She danced briefly. But in the end, nobody cared about this match. The crowd was flat. And then you had Primo and Epico go over. They get the win, and then AW gets on the mic and says it doesn't matter. His team is still the number one contenders. And then they work a spot with the tag team champions at ringside. So I guess even though the primetime players lost, I guess they are the number one contenders still, and they're going to get the title shot next.
And it's going to be a match nobody's going to care about. Then, and hopefully it won't be on a pay-per-view, and hopefully it won't be on a pre-match show. Maybe they'll make it part of the three-hour Raw. It's just not going to matter. And again, you had Hurricane Rana after Hurricane Rana in this match, and it just, you know, it used to be that the ladies' match was the match to go to the bathroom and get your snacks, but for me, this one was it.
I thought there was a couple spots where you could go to the bathroom and get a break. But definitely, this was the first one, the unadvertised match here. And again, I agree with Jerry. I hope they don't put this on a pay-per-view. This is not a match that people want to see. And honestly, Jerry, it wouldn't surprise me if it's on tomorrow night's Raw, even. I wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't totally surprise me. Because they're not very good at holding things off for long periods. I mean, they could, you know, talk about it tomorrow and then try to build it up for a week. Although, you know, we're hearing that this July 23rd, 1,000th edition of Raw, they want a pay-per-view caliber show, and obviously this is not a pay-per-view caliber match.
No, and it's never going to be. The WWE is tag team poor, and, you know, again, tag teams are not a focal point for the WWE. I mean, back in the 70s and even in the early 80s, and possibly the start of the Hogan era, tag team wrestling meant a lot more than what it does now. I mean, now it's just filler. It just means absolutely nothing. And if you go into the WWE as a tag team, you're either going to end up separated and lost in meaningless singles competition, or your career is just going to die as a tag team because it's just not there.
Now, next up on the show was the WWE Championship match. It was CM Punk against Daniel Bryan. During the day, they announced it was going to be a no DQ match. He sent out a text alert to their subscribers there. AJ, of course, the crazed AJ, was a special guest referee. They bumped her in this match about the five-minute mark. Punk inadvertently hit her, knocked her off the apron, and she was bumped. She had to leave the match. They had a new referee come in for a while. But in watching this match, I just thought it really dragged. It was very slow-paced, especially for these two. Considering who was in the ring, I think it was very slow-paced. Obviously, they were really selling every spot. They did spots with the kendo stick. They did a spot with the chair, the table. They were using the props during this match. But I just thought for these two in the ring, I expected a lot more from this match. And then I also thought, Jerry, with this match being the fourth match on the show, and that we've already had one unadvertised match, this would go a long time, and then that would lead into the Money in the Bank match as the champion or the final match. But once again, Jerry, we're seeing these championship matches kind of in the middle of these shows.
This match, easily the best match on the show, but that's not saying much. This is not even in the top 10 of the best matches that these two have ever had. Bumping AJ that early, it really didn't make sense. It played no other role in the match, and I just didn't really buy into what her role was, and like you said, the match dragged. They both seemed a little off tonight. Punk hit a GTS late in the match, and it almost looked like he missed. I mean, from the camera angle that I saw, it was really poorly executed. They just didn't seem to gel tonight. I don't know if it's just because they, you know, they've done about all they can do, or if it was because they were trying to make AJ and what she was doing more of a focal point of the match. But whatever the purpose was behind everything that they did, it just did not work.
You know, another thing I thought too during the match, obviously AJ was kind of the star of this match. They kept you know, talking about her, and she did the pre-match promo, how that she doesn't know if she wants to hug these guys or hit these guys, and then obviously she got bumped. They brought her back in the ring. After the match, she still was, I guess, you know, kind of straddling the fence, not really going one way or the other. But I really don't understand the push of AJ. Really, I don't think she is a very marketable type diva to be in this spot. I guess I just don't really dig this crazed chick character. I just don't think it's going to last for a long time. And I guess I don't really buy the storyline all that well. And, you know, we've kind of seen CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan so many times now. Obviously, the WWE feud is nothing where it was in the Ring of Honor days. I don't know. I just think it's not something that's really entertaining me right now. And I really thought, at least on paper, looking at you know, Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk, it pretty much guarantees a great match. And it was a good match, but like Jerry was saying, this was not anything special. And it was the best match on the show, but at the same time, again, that's not saying a whole lot. So I don't know, Jerry, what's your overall thought right now on AJ's push and the character of AJ kind of being a focal point in the storyline?
I think it's kind of run its course. I just don't see, you know, it, down the line booking, you know, she's going to cost Punk the title, but then who knows where you're going to go from there. It's just to the point where maybe in the beginning it sort of made sense, but then it got a little diluted, and now it's even more to the point where it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. And I think people are losing interest in it. I mean, she's really good in her role as a semi-psychotic young lady, but, you know, she just not – the whole thing, I think, is just done. I just don't think there's anywhere else they can go with it, at least not this creative team.
I totally agree with you. And again, I don't know, Jerry, again, the sequencing of this particular pay-per-view, I guess it's been pretty consistent. They've used the world title match as kind of the curtain jerker. First or second matches on the show. Tonight we had the WWE Championship match on the middle of the show. Because when, you know, when it's a four show and they only have one more match advertised, you think that maybe it's the second to last match. And then we have two more filler matches. So overall, I think you're probably go along with my thought here that you should always try to keep your championship matches at the as the main event.
Well, years ago they used to have the main event in the middle of the show. You know, if Bruno Sammartino would defend his real title, it would go on usually before intermission or right after intermission. And, you know, that way a lot of people couldn't argue for refunds or whatever you know, the purpose was, but and in some cases, you know, if the champion had to work a double shot that day, they'd go on in the middle of the show and then cut out and go to the next town and work another show. So having a world championship match in the middle of the show is not unheard of, but for the WWE, the titles aren't the most important thing. I mean, you have a world championship that seems to be less meaningful than a WWE championship, and that makes no sense to me. Really, honestly, I think they should just unify the titles and put it on the strongest person right now, or put it on somebody who they can push into that main event spot. Make it the focal point again. You know, use that title as your draw, but you know, in today's wrestling, it's just anymore. I mean, the belt has always been nothing more than a prop. But at one point, it used to mean a hell of a lot more than what it does now. And in the WWE, it's really meaningless anymore. Their main guy is John Cena, whether he has the belt or whether he doesn't. He's been on top in the last God knows how many pay-per-views, and he's gone over in the last how many pay-per-views. He's the guy, whether he has the belt or not. He's more important than either the World Championship or the WWE Championship right now.
Well, you just nailed it right on the head. John Cena is their man, with a championship or not. And I thought tonight, with the way they did the pay-per-view at the end, I think what really cemented that one. And then I guess next up on the show, we had a couple of the unadvertised matches. Now, again, this is where the pay-per-view was, I think, around 10 o'clock Eastern time. And you think maybe they could start the Money in the Bank. But then again, I guess you're thinking it's like 40 minutes. They're probably not, well, the guys in that particular match, you know, Kane, Big Show, Cena, they're not going to go, you know, 40 minutes with those guys. So what do you got to do? A couple filler matches. So again, no surprise, Ryback is out there. And he squashes Curt Hawkins and Tyler Reeks tonight. So I guess, Jerry, at least he's moving up from total jobbers and actually wrestling the lower tier talent in WWE.
Well, they got in some offense, and Ryback actually sold for him, such if he can, tonight. But again, still, it's Ryback. And I still want the question answered. When he says feed me more, does he want more Diana Ball, more Duradeca Bolin? What does he want? Because it's certainly not more and better opponents, because this is the longest he went, and he looked blown up at about the three-minute mark. So, but, you know, Ryback and Rex did actually get in some offense, and he did bump for him. So whatever that means, I guess it's a palate cleanser. Much like the ladies' match was, but having two palate cleanser matches in a row before the main event, it's just poor booking strategy.
Yeah. He was also, I think it was Michael Cole was alluding or was talking up Ryback's training schedule, how he sledgehammers and he goes to boxing practice just for cardio, and just maybe that's what he was talking more. He wanted more of that.
Oh.
Is that what it was? I don't
so
know.
He doesn't
maybe
want
it was.
More juice to jack up, but he's okay. I got it. And see, there was some controversy about whether or not the WWE was still testing for steroids as part of their wellness program. A lot of people were thinking that they had backed off on testing for that, since they haven't had anybody fail for those substances lately. But as far as I know, they're still testing for it. It's just who they test and whether or not they test them for those substances. So Ryback certainly couldn't pass if he were to have a wellness test for steroids. I would almost guarantee that.
And obviously, if it was one of their marquee guys, a.k.a. John Cena, there'd be no problems.
I would have
That's
to
always...
agree. And you know, I
yeah.
wonder if Cena's not back on the gas a little bit myself right now, because he's looking a little bit more fit than what he was.
Right, I would agree. And as Jerry was talking about, we had actually two filler matches here between the WWE Championship match and the final Money in the Bank match. Of course, we talked about Ryback going over in a handicap match of all matches. And then out of nowhere, Layla comes out, and I'm thinking, okay, now Layla's going to defend the championship on this pay-per-view, another unadvertised match. But they actually put a six-women's match out there. We had Layla, the women's champion, with Caitlyn, who you barely ever see. Tamina Snuka against Beth Phoenix, Natalya, and Eve. And I thought the most interesting aspect here was that Layla got the pinfall over Phoenix, who they've already beaten several times. So I guess Beth has fallen, and they don't figure her in the championship picture anytime soon.
Maybe that's because she's rumored to be dating Edge right now. So there might be a problem with that. I mean, you know, she was dating CM Punk, and he had some stroke and some pull. And now she's dating Edge, who's not even in the business anymore. So her stock has fallen off a little bit, because in wrestling, it's who you know or who you're related to, or in the case of the Divas, who you're dating. So I think her stock's fallen off a little bit. Like you said, you hardly ever see Caitlyn. She's a little thicker than a lot of the Divas, which it's not a bad thing. But she was kind of a surprise tonight. Layla going over Beth, not so much a surprise. They just seem to continue to bury Beth and try to make Layla look really good, and all efforts are failing, because I'm just not into Layla as a champion.
No, I'm not either. And I think another thing that maybe is hurting Beth, because remember, for months now, we were talking maybe a possible Beth versus Karma feud. And if some of the reports are accurate, or at least some of the Twitter tease out there is accurate, Karma could be done with WWE. And I guess nothing's official. They didn't make any official announcement. They didn't get the Future Endeavored statement out. And I know some people are already saying, well, maybe it's a work. And I'm thinking, how could this be? What's a plus of working the fans over a possible release when it seems like somebody at the WWE.com screwed up, put it out there that she was moved to the alumni section before they made the official announcement that she had been released. But I would think, Jerry, if everything is true and Karma is no longer with WWE, certainly the one's going to probably benefit be on the reverse end of that and feel maybe a deep push would be Beth. And then, of course, Beth loses tonight, gets pinned when they could have easily beaten one of the other girls in that match. So maybe, Karma gone is not good for Beth.
That's a real possibility. When Karma was in TNA, I'm not real impressed with her. She's just a big girl. She's King Kong Bundy, only, with bigger boobs. She's just not in my top 10 best lady workers list. But I believe a program with her in Phoenix probably could have made a little bit of money, or at least made for some interesting Raw matches. But without her, Phoenix is really going to hurt. But honestly, who is Layla going to feud with that's really going to matter?
Yeah, what's your thoughts on Karma, being released? Because, there was, I guess, the way it was handled, and then, people are saying, well, maybe because it's not officially been announced, maybe it's a work. I mean, what's the benefit of working the fans on a release like this? And I guess, with Karma, we saw this massive push. It was like they were going to kind of give her the ball and run with it. She was destroying all the divas, and then she announced she was pregnant, and then, of course, we know the story that she had the miscarriage there, and then she got married, I guess, in June. She confirmed that on her Twitter. The one thing I do know about her from a real-life standpoint is that I don't think she has all her marbles together. She's not the most coherent person. I remember when she was in TNA, people would tell me all the time that she was just bat crap crazy. And, of course, they wouldn't use that phrase, but, that's just the way she has been for so long. And then, when she finally got the big push, she was finally on the big stage, she was in WWE, she got pregnant. I mean, just at the worst possible time. And I don't know, just what's your overall reaction to, the way things transpired with Karma?
I agree with you. I think she has some mental issues. I don't know if she's bipolar or schizophrenic, combination of both or what her issues is. But if in fact that WWE has released her, my guess is that there's something to do with her mental stability. She lied about all the baby and the issues with the baby. Her getting married, I would have to take with a grain of salt until I actually saw the paperwork. And she's one of those that it's hard to believe anything that she says, especially via Twitter. I honestly think that the WWE is possibly better off without her because of the issues that she has. I just don't see her being a good fit for the WWE right now. So, I mean, if she can address her mental issues and get on some medication that works, and you can get her in the ring and she won't hurt people, and she actually knows what program she's working and how to take off, then she might be an asset. But I think at this point, with her her stability issues, she's probably best in the alumni section.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I was a little surprised, maybe the timing of it, because, they brought her back, at the Royal Rumble, and then we kept hearing that maybe she'd be back for WrestleMania, and then during the summer, thought maybe they'd bring her back and maybe feud her with Beth Phoenix. It never happened. I want to get your opinion on this real quick, Jerry, before we move on, and I can't believe we've talked about the Divas as long as we have, but, WWE did sign Sara Del Rey. Of course, you posted the information at Gerwick.net. Thoughts on WWE signing Sara Del Rey, and do you think they'll actually do anything with her?
Well, she's a great addition. She has a lot of experience, and from what I hear, they're going to try and multitask with her. Excuse me. not only have her wrestle, but also have her help with the training of some of the divas, which would not be a bad thing. Excuse me. I think Sarah is one of the best lady workers on the indies right now, and this is a well-deserved proposition for her being in the WWE. If she could find the right person to work with, I think they could actually have finally have a ladies program that would be money. But, you know, again, this is the WWE. They don't seem to really grasp the concept of good ladies matches. It's all TNA and just looking good, looking pretty with that ugly belt. And but, you know, we'll see. I mean, I think they've taken a step in the right direction by signing her. Just whether or not they utilize her to the best of her abilities is yet to be seen.
Yeah, I think maybe we've heard more and more that John Laurinaitis has lost a little bit of his power in WWE. Triple H has come in and taken a big bite out of some of his duties, including the developmental side. And we've never seen, in all the years that Sarah Del Rey's been like one of the top independent stars, we've never seen WWE even take a feeler on her. And now she's signed. So maybe, Jerry, this is a new direction that maybe then just finding Barbie dolls and glamour models and Venus, you know, models, that we actually will bring in some women. I mean, there are some good women workers out there. So maybe, you know, the women's division has never been a big focal point of WWE, but maybe with inclusion of some new women and women that can actually work, that maybe we could actually have a pretty sound WWE women's division at some point.
It's very possible. If Triple H is sincere in his idea of overhauling SCW, it really needs it. I mean, there have actually been no stars come out of there. I mean, there's been some mediocre mid-carders come out of there, but there's actually been no stars come out of SCW. And I honestly think Bill DeMott is not the man to create them. They should probably get rid of him. I mean, he's just not the best fit to train superstars. You know, I'm not going to say Danny Davis was the greatest at it, but I mean, he produced more stars for the WWE than what FCW. Probably ever will at this point. The whole developmental program needs an overhaul. They need new trainers. They need to look at some of the guys that are out there on the indies right now that are actually good and they're young enough to still make a difference. Get them into FCW, have somebody train them in the New York style of working, and get them up on that main roster a lot sooner. If not, they're going to lose out on an awful lot of opportunities that are out there. And Sarah Del Rey's a good start.
Yeah, I hope now with Triple H kind of in charge of developmental, that's just kind of his new baby out there. And you'd hope that they'd go back to the old system. Remember when they had Rick Bassman's group out, UPW, that's actually where John Cena started, and Victoria actually started out there as well. Remember they had Puerto Rico as a developmental territory. They had HWA, Les Thatcher. So that, you know, during that, when they had that, when they had kind of a lower level developmental, kind of a mid level, and then obviously when they were about ready to go on the main roster, you go to OVW with Danny Davis, and he'd give you a gimmick, or he'd finish off your training, and you'd be ready to go to television. Because I think obviously, as you were saying, no stars have really come out of FCW. They've really not made a new superstar, really a top level diva in a long time. That's been their system now for several years with FCW. So we'll see if Triple H kind of takes that in a new direction. I think he wants to go there. I just don't know if he's maybe ready to commit to you know, other territories and sign on different trainers but I definitely agree with you. Sarah Del Rey is a step in the right direction. So we'll see if they continue in that direction. And then Jerry went to the main event, the Money in the Bank match. Actually, I should note one thing here, because you know Michael Cole during the pay-per-view always spills out a lot of numbers, and he did say that CM Punk has now held the title for 238 days, the 17th longest WWE history, and I think he said there was over 100 and some title reigns. So CM Punk is now 17. So if you hold the title 238 days, you're now 17. So I thought that was kind of a mind-blowing number that you know, back years ago when Hulk and Savage, some of those guys have the title, they hold it for a long time. And now in today's wrestling, if you hold it for 200 and some days, you're suddenly like 17th ranked overall.
Yeah, that's a very sad and telling statement.
Yeah, I don't think that was a stat I would put out there. But obviously that's the way they go. They don't have long title reigns anymore, and CM Punk has had it for quite a while in terms of, you know, today's wrestling. But we did have the main event. We had John Cena versus Kane versus Chris Jericho versus The Big Show versus The Miz, who was put in the match late. I think he said that Kane was in a 6th Money in the Bank match, which is the record now. Kane had 6 Money in the Bank opportunities. Again, Jerry, I think it was no surprise when this was the last match of the show that John Cena was going to go over. We had an interesting spot where The Big Show was piled on. They put about, 15, 20 ladders on top of him. After he was down for a long time, he came back and got off the gold ladder, and he climbed it. And we thought, you know, it looked like at one point that he was going to win the match, but of course they were not going to end the pay-per-view with The Big Show going over. We had to have Super Cena win. Super Cena did his couple Hulk ups, you know, when he fell off the ladder with Jericho's sleeper. He came back at the end, overcame or blocked the Big Show's punch, and got the briefcase down. And no surprise to me that John Cena was the Money in the Bank winner.
No, I don't think anybody with half a brain knew or thought that Cena wasn't going to win this. Big Show and Kane ladder matches, they just don't mix. They're limited to start with as to what they can do, and to put them in a gimmick match like this, there's even less that they can do and be convincing with it. Miz was really a non-factor in this match. Why he was even added is beyond me. I think it would have been a better match with just the original four. And again, there's only so much you can do in this type of gimmick match, and everybody sells like they're dead for so long in order to set up the spots where somebody starts climbing a ladder, and then, oh, gee, so-and-so wakes up and runs in and breaks it up, and then those two, you know, they die for a minute, and somebody else gets up. I mean, it's just, you know, like reruns of Andy Griffith. You know, you've seen one, you've seen all 6-7 seasons of it, and you start to memorize them after a while. And Cena really didn't do much. Jericho didn't do much, you know, as far as use of the ladders. And the Big Show looked like he was really struggling at points to get that gigantic gold ladder picked up and set up in the right spot. And then at the end of the match, the handle broke on the case. Cena was giving Big Show some hits upside the head with the Halliburton. And they were some of the weakest shots that I've seen in a long time. But Big Show still had to sell them. Cena almost looked surprised when the handle broke on the case to bring it down.
Yeah, we were getting comments that they thought maybe that was not the actual finish of the match, that was just a fluke happening. But, I mean, obviously Cena was going to win either way.
Yeah, Cena was going to win.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's always a possibility that it wasn't exactly the way it was supposed to happen, but that's the way it ended up. You know, and it's one of those things that you kind of to run into when you have that kind of gimmick match, and stuff like that will happen, and you have to improvise. And if that wasn't the true ending of the match, I mean, they did fairly well covering it, but, you know, again, just nothing spectacular about it. No surprise ending. And it's going to be interesting to see if Cena will cash in his Money in the Bank match and use it at SummerSlam in an actual match.
Yeah, I would think there was rumors that it was going to be CM Punk versus Cena at SummerSlam. So it seems like that'd be the direction they went tonight, with Cena going over and CM Punk going over, that those two would meet at SummerSlam. Obviously, he would cash in his Money in the Bank opportunity. Since he's a babyface and he doesn't want to beat the champion and he's already beaten, so you think he would cash in his opportunity at the biggest summer spectacular there is, SummerSlam. I wanted to mention a couple of things also in that final match there. I think there was a couple of spots where the fans really wanted one of the wrestlers to kind of fall off the ladder. Because he had a spot where Cena was, he had the sleeper on Cena. It was Jericho. And it looked like maybe, you know, Cena would fall off the ladder. That didn't happen. And then it looked like he was going to put an attitude adjustment on Jericho. And then that didn't, you know, bump him from the ladder. I think it was a, that last match kind of needed a big high spot to kind of cap the match. I think people were looking for a big spot there, and it just didn't happen. And again, like as you said, they've done this match so many times that the fans kind of expect something unusual to happen, a big spot, somebody falls, and it just wasn't here. And then obviously with the predictable ending, I don't know, it just was seemed to me just to be very, very lackluster overall.
It just seemed like they were going through the motions on this show pretty much through every match. I mean, you had, what, 8 people in the first Money in the Bank match, and at any one time, 6 of them were playing dead. There were no real big high spots in that match. There wasn't any in the main event, and this pay-per-view really left you wanting more, and it just did not deliver on so many levels. We had talked before about one of the other pay-per-views being a throwaway. I think this one was run through the shredder even before it aired. It was just so bad. I'm really, really disappointed in it. The last TNA pay-per-view I thought was better than this pay-per-view from the WWE. Although, you know, the WWE will pop more buys, TNA is actually putting out a better product right now.
I would totally agree with you. I think Impact has been more consistent in the last several weeks than Raw. I think the pay-per-view, the last 3 TNA pay-per-views have been pretty strong overall if you look at the actual wrestling on the show. What I like about TNA pay-per-views over WWE's right now is that they advertise the whole show. They don't put unadvertised matches. I mean, Jerry, when you go into a pay-per-view where you have 4 matches announced and 2 of them are Money in the Bank matches, which you know probably won't go much longer than 20 minutes, that they're going to put unadvertised matches on this one. I didn't think they would put 3 on this show, but and especially to put 2 in between the championship match and the final Money in the Bank match. I just think the way, to me, what it really says to me, Jerry, is they get their Sunday. They have these 4 matches announced. They say, okay, how are we going to fill the time up? Who do you want to book? Okay, let's put these guys on the show. And wham, there you go. It didn't seem like some of these matches don't make a lot of sense. And they just seem like there's throwaway. They just seem like it's another Raw show because they're just filler matches. And yet you're paying, you know, $44.95 or $54.95 on HD for these pay-per-views. And, you know, they got to do a better job at building these matches up and establishing the card rather than on Sunday day of pay-per-view deciding which matches are going to be on the show.
I have to agree. But, you know, one of the things, you know, had they advertised these 3 filler matches, which are it's just stuff that you would see on Superstars, nobody would tune in because they're not matches that, A, make sense for the pay-per-view, and, B, matches that anybody wants to see as part of a pay-per-view. So that's why they're unadvertised. Nobody would tune in to see that crap. I mean, they're just matches that, you know, are on a C show that nobody's going to watch at midnight on some third-rate cable station. It's just bad. They have the depth of talent roster, even though you may have seen, you know, the matches before. You know, you may have seen Orton before against, you know, God knows who, somebody. But they could have put him, you know, they could have put Orton in there and advertised Orton in a match. You know, hell, we had talked earlier, even Brodus Clay, whom I cannot stand. I hate the guy. You know, they could have put him in a match, and it would have been, you know, something different if he'd actually had a match and advertised that, you know, Brodus Clay's first real match. There's a lot of opportunity missed by the WWE, but again, they're just they're going through the motions leading up to SummerSlam, leading up to the 1000th Raw. That's where all their focus is right now, and all the planning is for those two big shows coming up, the 3-hour 1000th Raw and SummerSlam. They're not going to put any effort into anything else at this point.
Well, I guess the one thing I could say that would have probably made sense to advertise here was what you were talking about, putting the championships tag title match, because we did see at the previous pay-per-view where the primetime players, again, another unadvertised match, that four-way, they won it. They became the number one contender. So you think maybe the next pay-per-view, they would get an opportunity to wrestle for the tag team championship, and then you have the tag team champions wrestle on the pre-show. So, again, I'm not saying, you know, putting that tag match is going to mean anything for buys, but at the same time, it means the championships actually get on the pay-per-view, and it makes sense from a storyline standpoint that you did one pay-per-view where you established the primetime players as the tag number one contenders for the tag titles, and then they should get their opportunity to wrestle the tag team champions rather than the tag team champions watching their matches dressed up in their suits. But again, you know, that's just something they do in WWE. They could have advertised five or six matches and probably hang with those five or six matches. But again, they went into this Money in the Bank with four matches, and the four matches on paper didn't look good, Jerry. And in the final equation, they really didn't deliver. And then, you know, what you added to the show as unadvertised, the Divas match, the handicap match, and the tag match, which really didn't mean anything. Again, boy, just a lackluster pay-per-view. You know, I know you don't really do ratings per se, but I was not happy with the end of the show. My $44.95 seemed like it was wasted. I wasted 3 hours. It didn't seem like there was anything different than a SmackDown or a Raw. And, Jerry, you know, leading into these three-hour Raws, I mean, they want to do a pay-per-view caliber Raw on the 23rd. And they may do it. They may be able to pull it off, but they can't do that week after week. And then, obviously, week after week, they'll want you to build up to a pay-per-view as well. So, boy, they really have their work cut out for them. You were talking about the roster right now. I think they definitely need to add something to that roster. It just seems very dull. And, obviously, they're bringing back a lot of the stars for the 23rd, but I would say I'd hate to be a writer right now because, boy, they have their hands full, you know, writing Raw, SmackDown. And then, of course, there's going to be a new show, Ion, this fall as well. So, boy, they really have their hands, the work cut out for them in WWE right now.
And that's one of the reasons why I don't think you're going to see the WWE Network this year. There's just too much going on to keep what they have running and making it successful and keeping it on top. And adding more stress and effort to everybody concerned to put together all the programming that you would need for a WWE network is just insane. And something somewhere has to suffer. And right now it seems like the pay-per-views are suffering for Raw. And, you know, maybe it would have been better. You had the primetime players. They got the semi-push coming out of the pay-per-view, had them on the pay-per-view as an advertised match against Truth and Kingston, and maybe put them over and have a title change on this pay-per-view. And that might have, you know, it might have sent the fans home happy because they got to see a title change on here. That might have been unexpected. And, you know, it's not the same old, same old, where Cena goes over, Punk goes over, Sheamus goes over. You know, it's all the same stuff that they've seen time and time again. There were no surprises on this pay-per-view, nothing special about it. And I really don't think anybody is going to be happy over what they saw tonight.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you can leave us your feedback. You go to the website, go to the comment board, and add your comments to the other comments that are up there. You can vote on the polls we currently have. What do you think of the pay-per-view? You can grade it. You also can vote for what you thought was the best match on the show. And I guess, Jerry, leading into the SummerSlam, I would think right now it's going to be Lesnar versus Triple H, CM Punk versus John Cena. And do you think they'll do Sheamus versus Alberto Del Rio again?
God, I hope not. I honestly would like to see Sheamus and Ziggler. I think that would be a money match more so than Del Rio and Sheamus. They just don't work well together. And Sheamus phoned it in tonight, I think, as did a lot of the guys, but especially Sheamus. He just didn't look his normal self tonight, and the match reflected that. Poorly executed, phoned it in, I'm going to say again, and it was just bad. So I'm really hoping that Sheamus can move on from Alberto Del Rio And Del Rio's been rumored to leave. My feeling at this point is good riddance. Go back to Mexico, put the hood on, become Dos Caras Jr., and be done with it. Because, I mean, really, he's just kind of wasting time in the WWE, in my opinion. He just adds nothing.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was going to ask you, what do you do with him? But, you know, if he doesn't want to be there long term, maybe it's, you know, better to part ways at this point. And again, I don't want to see Sheamus versus Alberto Del Rio again. I really don't want to see him in the title picture. So, you know, from there, you know, what do you do with him? And if he wants to go, maybe just let him go and you part ways. But overall, Jerry, I guess we are in total agreement. You know, they can leave us their thoughts. But overall, very lackluster pay-per-view. Nothing to recommend. Obviously, don't order the replay. I wouldn't even plunk down, what was it, $18-19 for the DVD when it comes out. I just didn't think this was anything spectacular, not worth your time, and not worth your money.
I would not even recommend finding a torrent of this pay-per-view. That's how pathetic it was to me. So, I mean, you get to that point, you know it has to be bad. So, yeah, I wouldn't even bother trying to find a torrent tomorrow or the next day of this pay-per-view. It's not worth the time you would waste, the bandwidth that you would need to download it, or the time to waste to watch it. I mean, you know, we watch it because this is what we do, but if I was a casual fan and watched this tonight, I would certainly be lodging as many complaints as I could and raising as much hell as I could. Hell, I'd even be calling DirecTV and saying, hey, I made a mistake and ordered this and didn't mean to. Can I have a refund? So...
You're not giving me the Viacom channels, and now you give me this crappy pay-per-view.
Exactly,
I want my money back.
Exactly, yeah. I want my Viacom channels back, man. I need my SpongeBob SquarePants in the morning, so.
All right, well, that's our recap of tonight's Money in the Bank match. I want to thank Dr. Jerry Wiseman for joining us.
Always
also want to thank Jerry for his contributions to GrillWick.net. He's, of course, post articles there. He's been keeping tabs on the NWA lawsuit, and today also broke that Sonny is going to go into rehab. So we appreciate your contributions to Gerwick.net.
Always a pleasure, my friend. It's an honor to be helping out on Gerwick.net. Always been one of my favorite sites, and to be part of it is just something I never dreamed would happen.
Well, we appreciate that, and we appreciate you listening to this podcast. You can check out previous podcasts at our audio section. You can subscribe, and you can also now download the Android app. And we're getting some positive feedback on the Android app if you have an Android phone. And I know people are asking about the Apple side, the iPhone, and we're working on that. The Apple people are not as easy to put over your app as the Android side is. So we're working on an Apple app. We hope to have something up there very soon. I know that the majority of the fans out there that, you know, have iPhones want the iPhone app. So we're working on it. But in the meantime, we appreciate you reading Gerwick.net. Again, appreciate Dr. Jerry Wiseman for joining us.
Well, you're definitely moving up in the world, Steve, and I hope it reflects in my paycheck.
You got it, my friend. All right, you have a good night, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, brother, you take care.